Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to invite you to take your Bibles, please, this morning and go with me to the book of Jonah. We're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 4. And what a name to represent, Jesus, the name above every names, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm grateful for that. While you're turning to the book of Jonah chapter 3, I want to just remind our church family about some of the questions that have been asked by God as we've looked at the series that we've been going through. Where are you at? What have you done? What is your name? What is in your hand? Who made man's mouth? And what are you doing here? All of these questions were asked by God, not for his benefit, but that the Almighty might teach us as people, some important lessons about ourselves and also about our God. Jonah chapter 3, and I want to begin our reading this morning in verse number 4. The Word of God says this in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, chapter 4, and I want to draw our attention to verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Imagine that. The whole nation turns to God, and the preacher is upset by it. I've never met a preacher like that, okay? And what an interesting story the Lord has for us this day. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Why are you mad? For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." People run away from God or are afraid to go to church because they think God is an ogre. They think God is somebody that is unapproachable. Here the prophet runs away from God because all of his great and wonderful attributes. Verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Now here's where we want to focus, verse 4. "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Doest thou well to be angry? Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help. Lord, we pray for your guidance this day. Lord, as we navigate through the Word of God, I pray that every single soul, Lord, would have the desires of their heart met. Father, I pray that your glory would be manifested in this place. I pray that every decision that is made would be pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is a comical book, and you have to see it that way. Because really, when you look at the book of Jonah wasn't written to express the message that the prophet had. The book of Jonah was written to tell the tale about a disobedient prophet. And the book of Jonah was really written to speak to our hearts about our lives and where we find ourselves in our lives. The Lord uses this little book, this unique story, to talk about one of the great problems of life, the problem of anger. In this book, you see some weird things. You find a rebellious servant, a prophet. The prophet is backward against God. You find repentant sailors who are pagans, who had more of a prayer life than the prophet had. You find a respectful sovereign, one of the greatest leaders of the world at time, the leader of the nation of the Assyrian nation, you find him respecting God. You find repentant stock. Even the animals had sackcloth and ashes and cried out to God in repentance. What a story. You can't help but look at this and say, man, this is a funny story, and it's an interesting thing. We find the question that the Lord asked Jonah, he says, doest thou well to be angry? And the Lord says to him, do you have any sound scriptural reason to be angry? Or how is your anger benefiting or profiting you? And the book of Jonah ends without a response from the prophet. Now imagine if it ended in Jonah chapter 3 verse 10. Let's look at that verse. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Imagine if it ended that way. I mean, what a success. Think about it for a second. Revival. What a dramatic end that would be. Revival breaks out and a nation is spared from the wrath of Almighty God. What a story, restoration, how God restored a wayward prophet and brought him back into full fellowship with him. But we're left with a sight. And what a sight it is. Rage. Boiling, seething, hot anger. I like what Wiersbe says about this passage of Scripture. He says, it is possible to be in the place of God's choosing and still have a heart that is hard, angry, and rebellious toward God. Even though Jonah knew how to pray and how to preach, and even though his theology was grounded solidly in God's word, he still became angry when he did not get his own way with the Lord. Let me ask the question, doest thou well to be angry? Are you an angry person? See, anger in and of itself is not a bad thing. My Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There are things that we as God's people need to be angry about. We need to be angry about some things. But the two types of anger in the Bible, there is righteous indignation, and there's an earthly, self-centered anger that displays itself in violent outbursts. I like what someone said, that anger, how anger shifts the focus of our priorities from God to ourselves. The anger that Jonah was displaying was not righteous indignation. It was self-centered and it was selfish. And there's a great danger in allowing selfish anger to control our lives, because the fact of the matter is it's difficult for people to discern what kind of anger this is. Is this righteous indignation or is this self-centered anger? And oftentimes we can deceive ourselves into thinking that every single blow up, every single flare up is righteous indignation, and nothing could be further from the truth. When we consider Jonah and we consider this message that the Lord has for us, it's important to note who this man was. You look at the book and you look at how everything just seems switched around. A rebellious prophet and a repentant people. Yet we find Jonah as a prophet in the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter 14. He's a prophet who prophesied in the days of Jeroboam, and he prophesied about prosperity and God's blessing. And yet there was another prophet who prophesied how that God would take all those things away. So you kind of wonder, what kind of a prophet is Jonah? But he had a successful ministry. His ministry was appreciated by Jeroboam II. When you consider the area and the geography around Israel, we think about the Assyrians that are mentioned in this story. The Assyrians, whose capital city was Nineveh, were a cruel and vicious people. These people didn't have any mercy upon the conquered people, that they would plunge and pillar those cities. They would, and I'm not trying to be grotesque here, but they would sever heads off of males' bodies and put them on posts and drive them into the ground. They would impale humans, skin them alive. We're not talking about the best of the best. And so when you think about it for a second, the message of the Lord to Nineveh, when you think about this message of judgment that God was going to pronounce on a Gentile nation, this would have been music to the ears of this Hebrew prophet. It would have been like a teenager being offered a brand new Xbox with all of their favorite games, and here you go. Have at her. It would have been a welcome sight for this man. But God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh, the great enemy of your people. You see, Jonah wanted judgment. He wanted justice against Israel's great enemy, but he couldn't fathom the fact that God would forgive the seemingly unforgivable. And if we'd be honest with ourselves, I think we struggle with those things too from time to time. Jesus Christ will save any repentant sinner. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ saves sinners. And if you're saved, it's because you recognize that you were a sinner and you could not save yourself. And you threw yourself upon the mercy of Almighty God and asked him to save your wretched, rotten soul. And I'm sure you could testify the fact that he did those things. Jonah became enraged when the Lord showed mercy to Nineveh. Look at what the word of God says in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says this, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was displeased. It means this. It means to spoil by breaking into pieces. He started to break down physically, and it manifested itself in such a powerful way. It says he was displeased exceedingly. That means he broke down in a blaze of rage. The Bible goes on to say in verse 1, it tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, that he was very angry. And what was he angry about? In verse 2, we see this prophet use the very reasons why we ran to God for salvation. Look at what the word says in chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Those are the reasons why we ran to Christ for salvation. We ran to find mercy. We go to our God every day and we know him as a gracious God, a forgiving God, a merciful God. And the prophet said, I'm mad at you because you are all of those things. And I think we can get that way from time to time. Because there's times we want justice. But I'm so glad that our God is so readily willing to reach out in mercy. He's patient. He's long-suffering. You know, we would put it this way here. He has the end game in mind, but our God is outside of time. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. And I think it teaches us a valuable lesson. Once we understand the cause and consequences of Jonah's anger, then and only then can we understand the cure for anger. Doest thou well to be angry? Let me ask the question again. Are you an angry person? Are you an angry person? And why are you an angry person? Let's consider the cause of Jonah's anger. Anybody got an answer to that? Why do you think Jonah was angry? Anybody got an idea? Why was he angry? Why did anger plague his life? We don't hear about Jonah after this passage of Scripture. We don't hear about God using him again. We don't find an answer to God's answering in his life. He doesn't respond to it. Pride, for sure. Anybody else? Why was he angry? Yeah. Felt hurt by the way people were treated? Why? Anybody else? Why was he angry? You know, it's hard to see it, but here's what I see from the Word of God. Incomplete submission. It happens all the time. He wasn't submitted to the will of God. You say, he's a prophet. That doesn't matter. I know a lot of preachers that preach the Word of God and it seems like there's success in their life, but they're bitter people. They're harsh people. Folks, the Word of God does not return void. It never does. Never does. Never does. Incomplete submission. That's the cause for his anger in his life, because here's the truth of the matter. Once we begin to hold back, we lose God's blessing. I like the hymn, but I hate the title, I Surrender All. I hate that title. I think it's wrong. I really do. And I'll explain it. If me and Pete are in a fight and I'm mangling Pete, he pulls out the white flag. I give up. Let the beating stop. When we talk about surrender, and those of you from a military background, people surrender when there are no other options available to them. There's no options available, therefore we surrender. Because the inevitable is going to happen. No, the Bible term is to submit. When we're at the point of surrender, we're brought down to our very knees and we're humbled, but God doesn't want us to surrender all. God wants us to submit. That means to fall in rank. That means to recognize one that is greater than us and to submit to him right away and saying, I recognize your authority, I recognize your majesty, and I humbly submit myself before you. This whole idea of surrender is the wrong thing. We wait till our lives are busted up, and we wait till everything is ruined, and then we say, God, I finally give up. No, it's better to submit before you have to surrender. And that's the fact of the matter, is we have to submit to the Lord. And we find in the book of Jonah how the Lord used various ways to bring Jonah to a place of submission. He tried to speak to his mind. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. And by the way, this is how the Lord works all the time. You know, I've been a pastor for a little while, and the thing that I always watch for when you deal with issues in the church and issues in people's lives is I seek to allow the Word of God to have its natural effect. I've seen many families restored through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And church family, we should be slow to want to discipline. It's a horrible thing. It's a grievous thing. God always speaks to our mind first. You know, I think we as parents, if we're going to deal with our children, we try to speak to them first before we correct them first, right? We go to them and say, hey, this is wrong. You need to correct that. We wait for the attitude change. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God comes and he speaks to Jonah and he says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. He appeals to his mind and he says, hey, here's what I want you to do, but here's the problem. The problem when we don't have a submitted mind is this, is that the will and the heart will always lead the body in the opposite direction of God. The word of God came to Jonah's mind and said, hey, I want you to go here and do this. But the mind wasn't willing to do it. Therefore, the heart wasn't in tune with it. The emotions were shut off of it. The will was not engaged to it. And therefore, the body said, ah, God, you want me here, but Lord, I'm going to go over here. And verse 3 tells us, but he rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And notice verse 3, and it says, and he went down to Joppa. Whenever we rise up to go against the Lord or away from the Lord, we always go down. Powerful, powerful truth. Oh, that God would just be able to speak to our minds and we'd say, okay, Lord, yes, I submit. I believe Jonah surrendered, but it would have been better if he would have submitted to the Lord. In chapter 2, we find the Lord using a great fish. Think about how crazy this is. You're a prophet of the Almighty God. You get on a ship with pagan sailors. You're sleeping in the bottom of it, and they are crying out to all of their gods. Their gods are not answering. They see a Hebrew in the bottom of the boat. He says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the God that you should fear. Why are you here? What are you doing? Why has this come upon us? Oh, it's because of me. What's your suggestion? I don't want to do the will of God anyway. Just kill me. Throw me in the water. Total insanity. It's almost embarrassing as a preacher talking about this, but I'm just going to be honest and real with you. I've had embarrassing fits like this in my life. Every preacher has, if they'd be honest. What do you want me to do? You know the great God, the God of all gods that can calm the storm. What do you want? Do you want the storm stopped? No, just throw me in the water that I can die. I'd rather die than obey the will of God. When we rebel against God, we do whacked out and crazy things. Crazy. Throw me in the sea. And he starts sinking. You know, he probably opened up his mouth. I'll just drown quicker. But God had a plan. What did the Lord use to get a hold of Jonah and to try to bring him back to a place of submission? He used a great fish, a whale, swallowed him whole. And we find in Jonah chapter 3 that the prophet's mind and his will motivated his body to go to Nineveh to obey God's command, to preach the word of God. And Jonah preached the word with tremendous results, but his heart wasn't in it. But God's word never returns unto him void. It never does. So what happens? The Lord sought to work on his heart. You think about this, you say, preacher, how do you know that his heart wasn't into this thing? Because as he goes to the word of, as he goes to these people and he preaches the word of God to them, it's amazing what he says to the people there. Here's what he says in verse 4, and here's how we know this. Verse 4 of chapter 3. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. No reference of God whatsoever. No reference of what they really need to do. No talk of how they should do it. It was really an incomplete sermon. 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. I did what you asked, God. And God took that incomplete message and used it for his glory. I don't want to do it. Hi, pagans. Throw me in the sea. God says, that's okay, I got a fish. I'm sorry. Blah. I'll do what you want, God, but don't expect my heart to be in it. Whew. Backward Christian soldiers returning from the war. No doubt about it. There he is. Does the preaching, but his heart is not in it. And so the Lord tries to engage his heart. What is God trying to do? He's trying to bless his servant and bring him to a place where he would just submit to Almighty God. He begins to work on his heart. He prepares a gourd to shade his disobedient prophet. And Jonah loved the plant more than the people. You know what he's literally doing? He sets himself up a shelter because he's watching Nineveh saying, God, I know you're going to agree with me. God, I know what you're going to do. You're going to come in here, God, and you're going to kill these people after all, and I'm just going to wait here until you finally come to my mindset, God. I'm waiting. I did what you wanted. Now kill them. And he's waiting and waiting. And Jonah became a tree hugger and not a soul winner. Think about it. He loved the gourd more than people. You say, preacher, those people were cruel. Oh, who were we before we got saved? I'm talking even the most sanctified person in here was wretched and rotten. And if you weren't, you don't have Bible salvation. I don't know what you got, but it's not salvation. The ground is level at the cross. You say, I never did anything wrong. You were born wrong. That's enough. You're born a sinner. I'm born a sinner. Sinner and a singer, okay? You don't teach children to be disobedient. They come forth from the womb telling lies. Absolutely. Remember the first time my Kezia lied to me, I was like, wow. Sweet little innocent, pretty little thing. I'm like, who did that there? My brother did that, Daddy. What about you? Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't teach her that. Her mom didn't teach her that. The teachers on Wednesday night don't teach our children how to lie and deceive people for gain. We're born that way. We're born that way. Hard heart. So the Lord says, Jonah, there's 120,000 children here who don't know right from wrong. Should I give them a chance? No. That's how intense his hatred and his anger was. No. Jonah, should I kill all the innocent animals? No response. Should I destroy all the livestock? You know God cares for animals. And we shouldn't be just naturally cruel to animals. That's unhealthy. Nothing wrong with hunting. There's a purpose behind that. He tried to work on his prophet's heart. You see, Jonah's anger was caused by incomplete submission to the Lord. He asked, what kept him from submitting to the Lord? And it's true here. He had the wrong mindset towards service. God said, I want you to go here. And Jonah said, I disagree with that. And therefore, I'm not going to do it. You know, folks, here's the fact of the matter. What an opportunity to serve God. If God says, serve me, and he gives you the opportunity, just do it. Just submit to it and just do it. You say, I'm scared. Every preacher that I know is scared. Until you get up here and God gives grace. He had the wrong mindset towards service. I don't think so, God. I don't want to do it. He had the wrong mindset towards supplication. In chapter 2, we find him praying only because he had to. He had no care and concern for those pagans on that boat. He had no care and concern for anybody but himself. And his attitude towards prayer is, I'm going to pray because I'm actually stuck in a big fat whale and it's uncomfortable. And so therefore, I know that what I got to do is I got to say things to the Lord to get me out of this whale. And if we'd be honest, a lot of the times in our life, and I'm not judging anybody, that's why we pray. My kid's sick and God, I need some money and I need... No, what about just talking to the Lord? What about the fact that God is high and holy and lifted up? And what an insult not even to talk to him. There's no rival to God. And we don't want to talk to God. I mean, sometimes we can get so self-absorbed that it's all about ourselves. This book wasn't for Jonah. This book is for us. We can get that way towards people. God, don't you dare get those people coming to church. Don't save that person, God. God, only bring the people that I can relate to, Lord. We're not that much different from Jonah. The wrong mindset towards supplication. You know, we ought to pray because God says to pray. Talk to me. Talk to me. We're a praying church, but we can be an even greater praying church. Why? Because we want to get some badge as being ultra-religious? No, because we just recognize what we are. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, and we need the Lord continually. I need him. The Lord is doing things, and we just want God to work in a powerful way. I'm humbled by the things the Lord has brought up this week. It's just blown my mind. I said, Lord, I don't think I'm ready for that. It doesn't matter if I'm ready for it. If God wants it, okay, Lord. It's beyond me already, but God, okay, if you want to do it, then just do it. Just give me some wisdom to understand it, or bring people here with the brains that can do it. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. Incomplete submission. He had the wrong mindset towards submission itself. God, I'll preach only because I have to, not because I want to. I've been there a time or two. It's time. Oh, but your heart's not in it. You're fearful. You're worried. You're burdened down. You see, the real blessing, folks, church family, is this. The real blessing isn't with the preacher. We're commanded to preach the word of God. And most time, God's people do it because they love the Lord. That's the absolute truth of the matter. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul said, I'm cursed if I don't obey the Lord in preaching the gospel. But we ought to do everything from our heart. Because we love the Lord, a submitted heart. I'll preach because you want me to, but I won't preach the complete message. Repent or you'll be destroyed. Oh, you did repent. Oh, well, I'm just going to wait here till all of you die. Oh, thank you for the gourd. You're coming around to my side of things. That's a blessing. Oh, you actually destroyed the gourd with a worm. When are you going to get right, God, and come to my... I'm telling you. Anger is so irrational. The extremes. Throw me in the water. Let me die. I'm not going to preach. Oh, they repented. Oh, well. You took away my gourd? How dare you? See, here's the thing. When you spell God backwards, it's dog. He's not a dog. He's God. He's almighty, unchangeable God. And folks, we got to submit to him. It's a sin if we don't. Not every message the preacher brings is fun, but we've got to submit to God. He wants us to do it willingly, but if we don't, we see things like this happen. I've been there. I've lived the life of Jonah and I've shared it. I had lost people come to me and say, why don't you get right with God and come back and save us? All the tears that came. The shame. What a horrible testimony Jonah had with these people. Those pagans, whatever became of them? Did they ever believe in the Lord? Did they ever turn to the Lord? Or did they go back to their country just boasting in one of the Hebrews and how they rebelled and what weirdos those Hebrews are? We don't need that testimony as Christians. The world already thinks we're nuts and weird anyway. Why try to give them any more evidence of those things? It's not a good thing. He had the wrong mindset towards souls. He was partial in his love for people, which led to prejudice in his life. If we don't love the Lord and if we don't seek to honor the Lord in our life, that's how we become with people too, by the way. As we become prejudiced in our own lives towards people. And the Lord is not pleased with those things. God is not glorified when we get that way. Incomplete submission is the cause of anger. But it produces something else, and we'll touch on this before we shut it down. We'll probably pick this up after the service, after the meal. The cause of his anger. But what about the consequences of it? Okay, Jonah, you're not totally submitted to the Lord. Listen, folks, preachers can be this way and people are this way. The consequences of his anger. Unrighteous anger doesn't solve anything. It builds nothing and it can destroy everything. The fact of the matter is this, the person who loses the most is the one who loses it. I've been there, no doubt about it. There's a philosophy amongst preachers, there's angry preachers that have passed it down to preachers, and it's wicked before God. The expectation of the ministry isn't to get people to do things, it's to have people honor the Lord. It's not to use people for man's purpose, it's to help people glorify God with their life. That's what the ministry is all about. We have children, parents, not to abuse them for them to complete our will. It's to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord that they might glorify God and serve God one day. And oh, how we have it backwards. Anger is such a plague. It's destroying our churches. It's destroying our homes. It destroys our joy. The consequences of this anger. He lost an opportunity for discipleship. Think about it for a second. He preaches the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what happened? It wasn't overthrown. It was turned over to God. Okay. He liked the overthrown part. You're going to be scorched and God will get you. The hatred in which he delivered that message. But he lost an opportunity for discipleship. You imagine the people, where is this one who brought us this wonderful truth? Who's going to answer the questions that I have now that I am a believer in Jehovah? Who's going to answer more questions that I have in my life? You see, just giving the gospel is a dereliction of duty. I watch people do it all the time. I had 50 people saved. Why aren't you discipling them? That's not my job. Yes, it is. It's a sin just to give out the gospel. What about discipleship? What about helping people? It's like parents having babies and, we'll see you in 18 years. Have fun. Okay. It doesn't work that way, and it doesn't work that way in the service of the Lord either. Think about it. He gave the message, but what about the follow-up? What about the follow-through? And here's what to do, your first step, now that you're a believer in Jehovah God. Here's how to set up an altar, and here's how to establish a family altar. And here's how to develop a community of worship unto the Lord God Most High. None of those things. He lost an opportunity for discipleship. He missed an opportunity for devotion. Think about it for a second. Don't you find this to be true? When we help others, our heart capacity for people in the Lord increases. I find that to be true. Oh, how God will tell you to reach out to somebody that's so unlike you, and how God just enlarges the heart. Folks, God is bringing different cultures to this country. He's been doing it for quite some time, and we fight it. It's out of our control, really. But they need the gospel. Yes, I'm a proud Canadian. Yes, I want this country reached. But we stopped going to the foreign field years ago, so God Almighty is bringing the foreign field to us. That's the truth of the matter. I wish I could communicate the gospel in every language, in every culture. But you know, the one thing we can do is love people. He missed that opportunity. What an opportunity that Jonah had to grow in his devotion to God and to people. He could have looked at the enemies of Israel and said, what a great God that I serve. And he could have saw those burning hot tears of repentance and said, wow, God. You know why the Lord did that? Does anybody know why God did that? He bought the nation of Israel 100 years of grace time before they would be caught away in captivity by Assyria. He gave them 100 years of time by one sermon, by one man, one message. That nation had a heart for God for 100 years. They were on fire for God as Israel turned away from Almighty God. See, God's ways are not our ways, and his plans are far greater than we can even comprehend. And you don't have to understand it all. Just submit to God and say, Lord, I just want it. I told my family coming here, I said, I want a ministry where I can't explain it. I don't have to explain it all. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to do it all. Just, yes, sir. If you want it, great. Okay, Lord. Then you take care of it. It can just be beyond us. He missed an opportunity for direction in his life. When we step out of God's will, we always wander. There's no word of the Lord coming to Jonah after this, none that I can see. Man, he was so blessed. Jeroboam, God's going to expand Israel's borders. And God did that. And God said, I've got something else for you. What is it? Worldwide missions. I want you to go to your neighbor and I want you to give them the gospel. Wow, God. You mean I'm not just going to have a Jewish ministry? You know, I'm going to have a ministry unto different, yeah. Wow. What would have happened if he would have said yes and had the right attitude towards that? We don't know. We don't know. All we have is the tale of this man, and the children sing about him being brought in the depths of the deep blue sea. Here's the thing about it, with the word of God and with the service of the Lord. I find a lot of people, pastor, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I find it all the time. I'm just so lost, I don't know what God wants. Clarity is really quite simple. Romans chapter 12, read the chapter. It talks about the will of God in so many areas. Are you praying? No. There's no more will of God revealed to you. I believe that with all my heart and soul. Are you being a witness for the Lord? No. Think about it for a second. If you had somebody managing $100 for you and he mismanaged it, would you give him $1 billion? The Lord is the master steward. God, you've given me a family, but I'm not taking care of it. What great thing do you have for me? Nothing. Nothing. Submit in this area. Take care of things in this area. I've seen it all the time. Preachers, well, God, I want a bigger, thriving ministry. Are you praying for people in the current one? No. Are you witnessing for the Lord? No. Are you using the Lord's time effectively? No. Then the answer is no. It always is. And Jonah lacked direction in his life. Folks, this is an encouraging thing. Submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. I've lived this and it's not pleasant. And many people in this room have lived it and it's not pleasant. Why does every generation have to toy with this and play with this fire? It's not needed. It's not necessary. The consequences of his anger. And lastly, he missed an opportunity for discernment. The ability to judge things well. He was a prophet. He should have been able to not only foretell, but foresee what God was doing. And he missed it. For the life of him, he couldn't understand why God was going to spare this wicked nation. In his mind's eye, all he had was Jew, 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 Jew. I gotta say it, it's not gonna be popular. The only thing we think in our churches today is Baptist, Baptist, Baptist. I'm so sick of rebellious Baptists. There's so many. It's wicked. We're Pharisees, let's be real and honest. We're Pharisees today. We don't have the love for the people that we should have in most of our churches. Pastors don't pray. They're more worried about their retirement and their fancy cars and their trips than they are about God's glory. That's the truth. So many lazy ministers of Christ. God thinks of people. We think of how people look. I don't care how people look coming to church. I'm just glad there's people here that God can help. I first came to church. I had earrings and orange hair and a purple shirt and spiky shoes. Yeah. And I had a pastor who loved me. And after that, after I got saved, I had a lot of weird haircuts. Some of you might remember the reference. I was trying to be the Don Johnson of the church family. sports coat, black coat, white shirt. I was the casual, cool guy with the skater boy haircut. And the older men would look at me and, you know what they did? They loved me. And I would pray weird stuff. As a young Christian, I'd say weird stuff. I said, I just believe if I get on this chair, God can allow me to fly. I believe God is that great. And I would try stupid stuff like that. I said, did you fly? Of course not, because there's a thing called gravity. Ask Brother Carl, he'll teach you some of those lessons, man. Okay? What goes up comes down. Thank God for the laws that he establishes. But I wanted to believe God. I believe that as a young preacher, every time I preached, people would come forward and get saved. I still want to believe it. But people also have a will. Well, I believe God can bring revival to this country. I believe that this church exists not because it's an exciting vacation point, but because it's a gateway. God's wanted a church here since 1945, and we're just the latest version of that. So many people have given so much for this to be what it is. It would be such a disgrace for us to squander it. We've been given so much. But we need discernment. Lord, give us your wisdom. Doest thou well to be angry, even unto the death? What became of Jonah's spiritual life? Not much from what I can see. The consequences. He wasn't fully submitted to God's will. Heavy, heavy consequences for his actions. Lord, help us. God, help us to submit to you. Lord, help us to love you. God tells really the comical story of a rebellious prophet to get our attention as we read through the Word of God to say, don't be like that. See, the fact of the matter is that the outcome of your life can change with one decision. Yes, God. So what are you wrestling with and what am I wrestling with? Let's just yield to the Lord. Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll finish this off. The next service, we'll talk about the cure for anger, and there is a cure for it. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ is working, there's always a solution. Always. Doest thou well to be angry? Are you angry? Let me encourage you to give that to the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm not going to. And I hate to say it, but you're going to continue in that vicious cycle of defeat. Flare up, blow up, you'll try and justify it. I've been there. Folks, I wrestle with it. You get so frustrated as a preacher, you want God to work in people's lives. You could bring it home with you. It's the truth of the matter. God, help us this day. As Sheila plays the piano, if there's a decision you need to make, let me encourage you to make it. How's that anger working for you? I'm not saying that to jump on you, criticize you. Just give it to God. It's not worth it anymore. Give it to God. Just submit to Him. God is merciful and kind and gracious, and He can help and He can heal. Folks, we got to get real with Him. We play games and our kids suffer. What if I were to tell all the kids of the church to come up and tell the stories of the home? And yet we just stand and don't move. They don't come back home for Christmas. That's what happens. We're losing our kids to the world. Why? Where is real Christianity today? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Maybe you're here today and you're mad at God. Why don't you talk to Him about it? Maybe you don't know the Lord. Why don't you give your heart to Jesus Christ this day? God's open for business. That trumpet hasn't sounded yet. But oh, that we as God's people would just say, no, I don't want anger plaguing my life. Not worth it. Not worth it. It's not worth it. The consequences are too high. It's just not worth it. God, I'm sick of it and I don't want it anymore. Don't want it. Father, we're very thankful for your word, Lord, this day. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we are talking about anger. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, help our homes, help our marriages. Lord, help us to be angry, but sin not. And Lord, if our mindset has gotten off of you, Lord, help us to get the right perspective back. Lord, what would you have us to do in our personal lives and as a church family? I pray that you'd continue to speak, to lead, to guide, to direct us. Lord, I pray that you'd seal every decision that's been made this day. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified with every single one of them. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. Father, I pray that you bless our fellowship hour. And Lord, I pray that you bless the service to follow. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we're